You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Sherry made me go out with a former boyfriend of hers. We sat at some restaurant, we had a beer and a little food, and that was it.
Yeah, I like carrots.
You know what that guy was doing the whole time?
He was sizing me up.
Yep.
I felt so good about it.
Yeah, but he went to MIT, man.
Yeah, come on. How am I going to be threatened by a guy named Morgan?
Morgan Freeman? Kill you.
He's in his 80s.
Still
no,
thinking.
With his voice he would.
Well, now murder you.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Good luck.
On 98.7. ESPN. You're telling me
I'm just a friend. All right, DiPietro Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. Big 9 o'clock hour. So much to do. Do you feel like we're hitting everything we need to hit today?
I think we've hit a lot.
Yeah, I do as well. You know, we haven't hit a little update on Gerrit Cole. You want to hear from Yankees GM Brian Cashman?
Yeah, we got some nerve irritation.
Yeah, let's take a listen. Here is Brian Cashman, courtesy of Yes on their ace pitcher.
How he was sharing what he was feeling and how it, and he knows his body inside out. He gave me comfort during the downtime that, you know, I think we're going to be in an okay place or a good place. We just do have to do the testing and go through that and interpret what that means and get the party line going. And ultimately, you know, Neil Eltraj is out west, which involves a flight and time zones and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, once the plane landed on it, you know, there was a full thumbs up, which was great.
So Yankee is feeling very optimistic on this injury update from Gerrit Cole.
Yeah, listen, I mean, it's not great. I mean, it's you're missing the best pitcher in baseball.
For an extended period of time, yeah.
Right, so that's not great, but I mean, it's better than the alternative. I mean, the real question with this is, yeah, it's not a tear, which is great. And, you know, they have a plan in place. And that, as an athlete, that's really what you want. Because, I mean, you heard what he said. Like, athletes know their bodies better than anyone else. And he felt like something was wrong and it needed to be taken care of. So now they have an idea what it is, how to treat it, how to fix it. It's just, I mean, the unknown of,
right,
like, what it is, like, what he looks like when he comes back, how long it lasts. Is this something that acts up again on him?
Well, that's the concern. I mean, even if it's not a tear, if it's a nerve irritation is what they're saying, what happens if the nerve irritation acts back up a month after he comes back to the Yankees?
Right. And that's a scary proposition because a lot of your hopes and dreams for the season are on the right arm of Gerrit Cole.
I would say more than a lot of them. I would say almost. Here's what I would say: you cannot win with him. You can't win without him.
Yeah, listen. For the time he's going to miss, I think they'll be fine.
I agree.
But to try to win a World Series without him is.
Speaking of trying to win the whole thing, your New York Jets are making splashy moves.
Very splashy moves. I do have also remind me, I have a little J.J. McCarthy little nugget.
Okay.
For you at some point.
Okay, here's what I'd like to do.
Okay.
I want to get into the Jets now. Before we get into stuff you missed, what do you think? You need about 2 minutes with your McCarthy nugget?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. So we'll give you like 90 seconds to 2 minutes and let you kind of spread your wings and get into that. I can't believe people are attacking me because I think the Jets have done well here. I think that this is what you have to do. You have to take big risks on short-term plays, and that's what the Jets are doing. Morgan Moses is a good addition. I think that Tyron Smith is a really good addition, and I don't think this is the last you've seen of the Mets making splashy moves.
No, and listen, and it wasn't necessarily going to be the kind of splashy that I think a lot of Jets fans were hoping for, like where Joe Douglas is just, you know, caution to the wind. I don't care, you know, what it looks like years down the road. I'm just going to throw a bunch of money at these problems. That's not what he did, and I don't think that's ever what he was going to do. Like, he was trying to play, you know, play the market the way that he feels most comfortable. And the fact that, you know, Tyron Smith, I mean, you got Tyron Smith on a 1-year deal,
right?
For a guy who's an all, like, when he's healthy, one of the best left tackles in the sport. He's an all-pro caliber.
A desperate need. I mean, you had a guy that was unplayable last year in Mekhi Becton. It ranks as one of the worst offensive linemen in football. You now add, and again, the big risk is injuries with this guy. But as far as talent or how he plays when he plays, he is elite.
Right. So outside of the injury stuff, which I know is a concern, and it should be a concern, especially with your quarterback at his age coming off an Achilles, I understand that. But it's also, you said it, you know what he is when he's on the field. You have no idea what whatever tackle you're going to draft in this year's draft, if you do draft a tackle, is going to look like as he makes the transition from college to the NFL. And you don't have time for him to figure it out. You don't.
No, you don't have, the Giants have the luxury of time. The Jets do not. So every move that the Jets make has to be that guy can help us immediately. Not let's build into it, let's grow into it, let's see what he has in the future. It's Morgan Moses helps the right side immediately. Tyron Smith helps the left side immediately. Any receiver you bring in is going to help you immediately. They don't have the luxury of time.
Yeah, I just think there's a lot of people that just thought that, because it's what we probably would do if our job was on the line, is get irresponsible. Like, whatever it takes, because none of this stuff is going to matter to me anyway if it doesn't work out. I won't be here to worry about the draft picks or the salary cap and everything else. But that's not what Joe Douglas did. I mean, just think about this. Joe Douglas, they get rid of Laken Tomlinson. So they save just over $8 million by getting rid of him. They turn that $8 million, a little bit more, into a new right tackle and a new starting guard for what they saved on Laken Tomlinson. So, like, he's taking the finances into account, which I guess is smart in the long run for the health of the franchise. And you also have again, I'll say this because I don't want to get attacked. If healthy, a much improved offensive line.
I couldn't agree more. Now, but that's a big if, right? But that's, you're not in a position where you could afford to have certainty. You're just not like, well, we'll draft the guy at 10. He'll be a great left tackle for the next decade, but there might be some growing pains. Sorry, doesn't work. You need to bring in a guy via free agency that can step in immediately and be more than competent, more than capable. And I think that's what you've done. Is there injury risk that goes along with it? A lot. And the guy never plays a full season. You have to manage him. He's got chronic injury. I get it. But when he's out there, which was more times than not this past season, you have an elite left tackle right now.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. If there weren't injury concerns, there's no way you're getting Tyron None. Smith on a one-year deal. No chance.
He would have signed one of these five-year, $142 million deals.
Right.
With $80 million of guaranteed money.
Right. There was no way you were getting him. So, yeah. Right? I mean, is it a little bit risky? It absolutely is. But it also gives you now the flexibility in the draft to, you know, to do a bunch of different things. I could trade down if I wanted to, knowing that this draft is flush with, you know, tackles and wide receivers, and get that second round pick that I lost in the Aaron Rodgers deal. I mean, I could be, you know, where I'm in a spot now because it looks like there's four quarterbacks going in the top 10 where, you know, I get the offensive lineman I want. It could be a skill position player that I like.
I'd like to see them make a move for a receiver like a Mike Williams or T. Higgins or someone, and then draft another offensive lineman.
Yeah, listen, I would actually like to see them sign Mike Williams. Don't let him out the building today because he's going to be there on his visit.
Right.
And then maybe even trade down and get a second-round pick.
And then go offensive lineman with 10 and receiver with the second-round pick?
Or no, not 10 because you're going to move down from 10.
Oh, right. Whatever. So offensive line with 14 or 15 and then receiver second-round pick?
Yeah, well, now you got a second and you got a third.
Right.
So.
And now you're cooking.
Now you're cooking.
It's exciting. I'm excited for you.
You should be excited. I'm excited. It took a minute. We had all that. I mean, the fact that we were having the conversation about Aaron being a VP candidate was craziness. Yeah, but we
had to have that conversation.
I know, but the fact that we're having that conversation is nuts. Like, we're really entertaining that conversation.
I mean, can you imagine if I would have told you like 6 weeks ago, all right, so listen, probably mid-March we're going to get into these Aaron Rodgers going to run for vice president conversation.
No.
You'd have been like, listen, can you go, like, honestly, go to a group home? Like, you can right. Get out of here.
Like, maybe hit a comedy cell with RJ on the way.
I'd be great in the comedy cell.
I think you would. I'm not sure I'd go with the, I just flew here and my arms are tired.
No?
I don't know if that's a great starter. But
that's to start. And maybe you bring in like you go with the arms, right? Like you look at me. You see what I'm doing? Like you go like that.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, if that's the way you want to start it, but
would you be like my Ed McMahon that if I'm up there and things are not going great, that if I tell a joke which is like moderately funny, you're like,
I've already been criticized on your sloppy website for doing that anyway.
Not sloppy. Is that
like that was Raymond Zed McMahon? Was that Raymond Zed McMahon?
Yeah, I think so.
That's right.
Sound like you were choking.
It sounded like you're throwing up. RJ, why do you? Well, let's see how funny you can be. Give us an Eddie McMahon.
No, I'm already not. I'm already not funny. I've
do
listened.
You know, okay, here's my question. Do you know who Ed McMahon is?
Yes.
Okay. Who?
Legendary sidekick
of.
Really?
Oh no.
Yes.
I think you're insulting me.
You don't have the answer though.
Why do you have to pick on me?
You're a bad guy.
Do you, RJ? Do you not know?
You're such a bad guy.
Oh, what a bad guy you are.
How am I a bad guy?
Because you're a bad guy.
He brings a lack of knowledge to the show, and I'm a bad guy?
It was Johnny Carson, right?
Carson. Yeah. I was struggling on the name. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I know who he is. I struggled on the Johnny Carson. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's all right.
Listen, I'm not funny. I'm not knowledgeable.
Well, you know, RJ, at this point, what do you even bring to the table?
Not much.
He's pulling the Happy Gilmore on you right now.
I show up on time.
You are timely.
That's all I do.
You got that going for you.
That's
so
it.
If you go to see RJ in the Comedy Cellar, I promise you he will be there on time.
I won't be there. I'm not funny. My ego's bruised.
I'm stupid. You're smart.
That's right.
I was wrong. You were right. You're the best. I'm the worst. You're very good looking. I'm not attractive.
You know what, RJ? You are attractive.
You are handsome. Great hair. Yeah.
That's subjective, though.
No, sure people.
I don't think so. I think there if are you some things. Like, typed it into AI or whatever, and you said, is this an attractive person? It would say yes.
And you were the best looking woman of the four of us.
Not only were you the best looking woman of the four of us, you were very, very attractive.
Did you catch yourself just there?
Yeah.
You were.
I don't think I want to be in this spot, dirty. Though.
I was going to say you were titillating.
98.7. Hello.
How you say Labushkin's funny.
I'm you're Bushkin. I'm leading some life here.
Yeah. I mean, think about all the great things you have.
Yeah. You're Bushkin and being an attractive ChatGPT woman.
Gorgeous woman.
I got it going on. This is me, RJ, the woman.
You could make babies.
Chuck, yep.
Made a beautiful baby.
When you put it like that, I really got a lot going for me.
Yeah.
You dominate Costco.
I haven't seen it, but I'm sure you're a great dad.
No, Costco dominates me.
It's true.
He called us like or texted us in fear in the corner of the yogurt aisle at Costco.
Listen, if you've ever been to the Brooklyn Costco, you'd say the same thing. That's a place where just you go to. It's not safe there.
The name alone, Brooklyn Costco, just implies chaos.
Why does Brooklyn Costco imply any more chaos than another Costco?
Because the people there are crazy.
So you're calling Brooklynites crazy,
RJ? Do you get the rotisserie chicken when you go to the Costco?
I have.
You like it?
I have. Yeah,
Can't not get the chicken.
Yeah.
Right.
The croissants, the chicken. Yeah, there's some good stuff there.
Seems like a great deal.
The croissants?
Croissants?
The croissant.
And see, this is what he does to you. Now you're questioning whether you know how to pronounce it.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's not croissants.
Croissant.
That R does not make an appearance.
Croissant.
Sorry.
That's all right. All right, let's get to some of the calls, and then we've got Rick's Nugget and RJ's Stuff You Missed. Corey Edison. Hi, Corey. You're on 98.7.
Hey guys, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
So, everyone's talking about Mike Williams. I think that would be a good, nice pickup if it's the right price. But the guy that's coming in this week that really piques my interest is Clowney, especially after losing Huff. You know, I was looking at the some highlights and stuff of him and with the Ravens, and he definitely had his best year this past year. And I think he just raises the overall upside of our defense. What do you guys think about that? Thanks.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, but I mean, our defense is good.
Yeah, but I mean, Jadeveon Clowney would not hurt the defense.
No, dude, of course he wouldn't hurt the defense. I'm saying, like, as far as a priority right now.
Yeah, I don't think it's a priority. Your priority is offense. Your defense was good enough as is. Now, you lose Huff, but you would imagine the first-round pick from last year would be, right, McDonald would be able to kind of fill that role a little bit.
Yeah, but there's a reason why they weren't on Keenan Allen. There's a reason why they're bringing Mike Williams in.
No, they are desperate for
offense. They need someone to put next to Garrett Wilson. Because Alan Lazard was he was brutal for us
this
year.
He is available, though, if any team would make an offer for him.
For who?
Alan Lazard.
Oh, yeah, if anyone's looking to trade for him.
Anybody's looking to bring in a receiver that did nothing last year and makes a lot of money, you could have Alan Lazard.
Yeah, great.
Let's go to Randy in Brooklyn. Hi, Randy. Randy.
Hello.
Hi, Randy.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. One point, the Brooklyn Costco is chaos. My other point is that you're worried about these guys that are older, that are guards for the Jets. If we do wind up recruiting new guys in the draft, wouldn't they be able to help them learn the position better?
Yep. Yes. Absolutely right. That's absolutely right. Like I said to Dave, like if you say you stay at 10 and you draft whatever tackle you like, there's no rush to throw him right in if he's not ready. And once you recognize that he is ready, if he's dominating practice, I have no problem with him playing
that
right
spot.
Play right tackle.
To be in the position where you can draft the guy. If he's great, you can play him. If he's not ready, you don't have to play him. That's a luxury.
And let's face the reality here too. Someone is going to get hurt anyway.
Of course.
Right.
Of course. All right. What's your JJ McCarthy nugget?
Oh, this was pretty interesting. RJ likes JJ McCarthy, but RJ's surprised with,
I don't know.
Okay. I think he's a little bit surprised with how high it seems like JJ McCarthy is going to go. So I was reading something this morning and it says, okay, here's the quote. JJ McCarthy has talent. I think we all recognize he has talent. The reason why he's so highly thought of league-wide, because he plays inside the structure of the offense, executes plays called, doesn't freelance and deviate from structure often. Coaches spend hours game planning. It's almost meaningless if you got a quarterback where the foundation of his game is playing outside of the structure.
So that's a positive about him.
Right. Talented.
That he's willing to kind of stay within what the coach wants him to do.
Right. Kind of like that. Remember we watched the quarterback show with Kirk Cousins?
Right.
And the coach kept telling him, listen, there's a reason why I drew it up this way. I'm going to call it. You run it. I promise it's going to be open. Like, you got to think how much time the coaches spend, especially the good ones. Like, that's why, I'm telling you right now, that is why Kyle Shanahan likes Brock Purdy.
Who is that from, by the way?
This is from Chad Forbes.
So that's a quote from a coach?
No, that's just what he's learned from.
Okay, so people he's spoken to.
All
that's
of his draft study, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. But I think that's what, but they, that's why Kyle Shanahan likes Brock Purdy, I think.
He just does what he wants him to do.
Right. And Kyle Shanahan's great at what he does. So, like, there's a reason why I spend hours and hours and hours game planning and calling certain plays. And if, you know, the foundation of your game is like, I'm not going to play within in the confines of this offense. What good is it for me to be great at my job? That's probably why Sean Payton used to get pissed at Russell Wilson all the time.
I'm sure, because that's the last thing a coach does. That has something in place and you deviate from it. Now God knows what happens. All right, RJ, let's see what you got here. Stuff you missed.
Now.
See ya!
Bang! Touchdown! Rebound score!
The sh** you missed.
Yes. Yes. You caught me at an awkward spot. I was finishing my sim. I went brain dead on Johnny Carson. Not a good
he
look
tried
for
to
me.
Embarrass you is what he did.
Well, it's not a good look for me, though. That should be readily available.
He had a goal. He accomplished it.
You know what? You guys are such babies. You should know who the sidekick to Johnny Carson.
That's what I was saying. What? Yeah. But you could tell I was on the right path.
We knew who he was.
And
even if you didn't know it, it's okay. It just goes to show how old I am.
No, I don't think it's okay. I did know it. I went brain dead. No excuses. You caught me. I think that was your intent. So
I mean, isn't that what we say at the end of every show? No excuses, play like a champion.
Yeah, I'm not making any. That's what I'm saying. I stink, and I'm not funny, which is sad.
What do you really even have going for you?
Not a lot. I get to hang out with you guys. I enjoy that.
That's good for you.
That is good for me. Brackets are out. Dave Rothenberg pool is open. Maybe Dave will give out his actual email, so he'll invite some people into the...
Nope.
Okay, well, sorry. If you're out there, can't play. But what you can do is fill out your own bracket. UConn, the number one overall seed on the men's side. Houston, Purdue, and North Carolina are the overall one line. UConn going to start its title defense at Barclays Center.
You might go, you were saying.
I would like to. It's a little more pricey. Dave, you and I were talking about it actually a couple of commercial breaks ago. They play Stetson, and that section of games actually more expensive than I thought it would be.
Well, the problem is you get... On Friday, right, you get UConn in the afternoon, then Duke at night.
Yeah.
So those are two schools that really fans want to go see.
That's nice, though.
That's great.
On the women's side, South Carolina, Iowa, USC, and Texas are the top seeds. Dave, 8-24 season, really bad, but I ask you, surprised at all, Juwan Howard got fired from Michigan?
I mean, remember he was like trying to fight other coaches and the team can't win games.
Maybe they deserve it.
No, not all that surprised.
Some hoops. Did you see what Kyrie Irving did last night?
We mentioned it earlier. I mean, listen, I actually detest Kyrie Irving. That shot was incredible.
And did you hear who called it?
Was it Ryan?
It was.
Looking in for Irving. Irving for the win! Oh, my! A southpaw finish for Kyrie Irving! Just absurd!
I got a text from Ryan this weekend.
Oh, nice.
Yeah?
Yeah, but I didn't respond because I was so annoyed by it. I guess he heard the conversation last week about La La Land.
Oh, I feel like
he loves it.
I know what he said to you.
And he said, oh, what a movie. Can't believe you didn't like it. I can't believe it didn't win an Academy Award.
Didn't he used to travel with Pitch Perfect everywhere he went?
Everywhere he went on the plane, he would watch it. He said, here's what he said exactly. Saturday, 5:53. La La Land was an incredible movie. Highway Robbery didn't win Best Picture. So this is to me and John. I was so annoyed by this, I didn't respond. John responds, couldn't agree more, so much so that Faye Dunaway tried to gift it to them with the win over her own win.
Was it Ryan who was the big Anna Kendrick guy, or was
John?
Oh,
my God.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
loves Anna Kendrick.
What a horrible selection that was.
Wow. Oh.
Wow.
Goodness.
That's tough. By the way.
I love Ryan. This is not a good take from him.
Nice transition, RJ.
Yeah.
Oh, that's tough.
Any issue with St. John's opting out of the NIT?
Yes.
I don't.
Yes. Yes. Of course.
They got so much stuff to worry about right now.
Oh, please. Give me
a meaningless
break.
Tournament.
Oh, every tournament's meaningless then. You get to keep your team together and play some games. I mean, go play.
Dude, there is so much with the transfer portal and all the recruiting and stuff that has to be done for next season.
You're with the guys that you're going to try to keep from going into the transfer portal. So you're telling me if Rick Pitino has to work another 3 days, 5 days, it ruins his chance of bringing new guys in?
He's also
Shaheen Holloway's doing it. How does he manage to make the time?
He's in multitask.
Well, maybe Pitino needs to learn.
Don't be mad at Pitino because he tried to make a move on your wife.
I'm not mad at him at all.
He's got a lot of extra time now to run. What do they call it? The
reservoir.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're mad.
Listen to me, Pitino.
Sounds like you're
you
mad.
You stay away from my wife.
She's going to be crushing laps. Victor.
Crushing laps.
Oh, no. Victor Wembanyama, back to sports, lifts the Spurs over the Nets. A game very interesting played in Austin, Texas, as the Spurs tried to expand their footprint.
Yama, 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 yama.
Had 33, 15, 7, and 7.
I watched that from 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter through the overtime. He's unbelievable.
He's very good.
He is enormous, too.
Greg Popovich said that after the game, the Spurs are going to play games in Paris next year, which is...
Oh, nice.
Which is interesting.
Now, you're gonna yell at me. I have a follow-up question.
Yeah, I'm okay.
These will be Spurs home games, or these will be what?
I would imagine so if they've been notified first. But the games haven't even been. I actually have an answer for you. The games have not been announced by the NBA.
Popovich made it public.
That's right. He just decided, you know what? Now's a good time.
Well, I mean, what repercussions are you going to have? What does he have to lose?
He's not worried about much.
No. Well, the Spurs are probably big over there.
I'm sure.
With the whole Wimby.
Bring their son home, right?
That's right.
Austin's a great place, too, by the way.
Great place.
Oh.
Any stories you want to share?
No.
Okay. Johnny Brzezinski.
Did you rock out in Austin?
They kept it weird in Austin. Yeah. That's when I adopted the homeless person that night.
I'm sorry.
You never heard this? Where he?
They stole a shoe. Person.
No, that was Miami.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
So you have quite a long history with you and the homeless.
No, that was Pete in Miami. I actually took on a friend, and
you
kept him with me the
night of. Imbibing and
I took up. I took out. Yeah, drink all of it.
It's nice.
It's beautiful.
Wow. That's
nice. You know what he's going to do for us tomorrow morning? Buy us full breakfasts.
Who doesn't love breakfasts?
Anything you want. Suck.
You know how many Winthrop's going to get? That got us two other free breakfasts. Two free breakfasts.
I got to buy him one too.
I think
that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Johnny Brzezinski's go-ahead goal, second period. Rangers win their fifth out of their last six. 5-2 over the Isles. Sorry, Rick. Where we stand, Rangers 1 point back of the Bruins for the top spot in the East. Isles 1 point out of a playoff spot. Very congested playoff portion of the bottom of the playoff picture in the East. Currently, that eighth seed is the Red Wings.
All right, Rick, right now, What? Islanders get in or not?
Got to jump over the Caps, too.
Oh, yeah. All of a sudden, the Caps are part of the mix now.
This weekend, right?
Patrick Waugh not happy after that Senators game.
No, it was disgusted. Everyone was disgusted after that game. I will say, yeah, that's a waste. They wasted a point there, though. Yeah, I'll say, yeah, they make the playoffs.
Yes, they'll think. Okay.
Golden Knights beat the Devils 3-1. Yankees get doubled up by the Red Sox 12-6. Garrett Cole, we talked about it, won't throw for 3 to 4 weeks. Nestor Cortez, the opening day starter. Former Yankee Domingo Herman signs with the Pirates. Mets over the Marlins 7-6. Nail biter Jose Quintana, not great. 4 runs in 4 1/3. Mark Vientos had a very long home run, couple of hits. The Dodgers say Shohei Ohtani could throw this season at some point, not on the mound in a game, but he will rehab and eventually could play the field in a real game this season. The Dodgers, of course, open the season for all of Major League Baseball Wednesday and Thursday this week against the Padres in Seoul, Korea.
At what time?
6 a.m.
Nice.
Scotty Scheffler, first repeat champ at the Players. What an ending this was.
You guys watch this?
This was amazing. Very sad for Wyndham Clark, that birdie try on 18.
His name is Wyndham?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's really good. Alcaraz beat Medvedev to defend his title at Indian Wells. Man U beats Liverpool 4-3 to make the FA Cup semis. Lionel Messi is week-to-week with a leg muscle injury. And back to baseball, the Yankees announced on their Seinfeld night, July 5th, going to have a bobblehead for their assistant to the traveling secretary, better known as?
Costanza.
That's right. That's the bleepy list.
They better have some security with that shipment after what happened to the Yarmer Yager bobbleheads.
Yeah. Got taken.
Stuff is happening with the bobblehead.
You know what? But you know,
Christopher Moltisanti was involved, I'm sure.
You know, there's people sitting down within like Yankee walls being like, listen, we got a problem. Bobbleheads
like
are getting taken.
Don't like me. When they like me, I don't like them.
And that's all of it.
Oh, that was nice. You may not be funny, but you're packed with information.
I try to.
Well, the jerk store called and they're running out of you.
I try to be punctual, if nothing else.
Oh, and you really are doing a great job with that.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
We got to get Mel on. What do you think about starting to get Field Yates on a little bit?
I already said, yeah, I like Field.
I like Field. So what happened to that idea then?
I'm not the one that books guests.
RJ, can we start to get Field Yates on a little bit?
Sure, absolutely.
That'd be nice. I like Field very much.
Wow, Renan's nasty.
What did he say?
Or he sent me nasty text messages.
How so? What did he say?
He said your J.J. McCarthy nugget was weak.
Really?
Yeah.
Choo-choo.
I said to him, I said, you're weak.
Wow. You don't take attacks very well.
I'm the conductor.
I don't think it was a warranted attack.
Wow. I was trying to. You know what I respect about Renan? He fears nothing.
Nothing.
Like, no, he'll go right after you. Email Malcolm Murray. Hey, Dave, love the show. Confused with one of your takes. You keep saying the Giants shouldn't have won those games towards the end of the season. Then you also say you don't believe in tanking. How could that be? Well, I'm not saying the Giants should intentionally try to go out and lose, but you can massage the situation a little bit. And I'm saying, I wish that the Patriots made that field goal. Like, I wish that Randy Bullock missed the field goal against the Packers. I didn't want to win games. And now if I'm going to move up and get the quarterback I want, I'm going to have to give up my 2025 first-round pick because I beat Green Bay and because I beat New England. What sense does that make for me? Those wins don't do anything for me.
Yeah, I don't think your argument was ever that you should tank.
No, I'm not saying tank. I'm not saying lose on purpose. But you know what? If Tommy DeVito continues to be the starting quarterback, if I mean, there's ways that you can show you're in and still lose games.
Yeah, but I don't even think it was that, though. I think it was just a question of, like, yeah, you just would rather them lose.
Right. I want
it
them
wasn't
to
even,
lose.
I don't even think you were calling to position the roster to
no,
lose.
No, was I wasn't just hope blaming they lose. Anybody for what. I'm just saying, like, I didn't want them to win. When they came out in that Philadelphia game and, they, like, Barkley down the left side, deep pass, I was like, they're gonna win this game. I'm not blaming them for winning. I mean, if you're a player on the team, that's what you should try to do. I didn't want it. I didn't want for that to happen.
No, coaches and players are going to try to win. And I think, I mean, listen, in the locker room, yeah, I can tell you. I mean, being on a team that loses all the time, it's a brutal place to be. So, of course, you want to win because everything's better when you win. And you're not worried about draft picks and everything else. And it's not your job to worry about draft picks. Or where you, like, you, the goal is to prepare during the week and win. That's it. Now, if management has a different plan and they want to, you know, make decisions that will help you lose. There are teams that do that. I don't think right. that was ever your. I don't think that was ever your point.
Talking about how you go about game planning or preparing or who's playing or who's not. All I'm saying is, watching the games, I was hoping the Giants would not win.
Yeah, I think your argument was like the people that would argue how important it was to win those games when in actuality it was not important.
Well, what's the importance? Like, sit here and tell me now how beating Green Bay, how beating New England, how beating Washington twice. What's the importance there? New England stunk. Washington stunk, and that's three of your six wins last season. So, wow, great. And Arizona's your fourth. So, well, I mean, you beat Green Bay, but other than that, these wins are not impressive.
No, I think the people that were arguing against you were people. I think Don's argument was that for Don, Brian Daboll needed to prove to him that he could coach.
But it goes back to my point. If Bullock misses that field goal and the Giants do not win that game against Green Bay, and I think they won 26-24, so they lose 24-23, based on a field goal from a kicker who probably won't even be your kicker next season, does that prove to you now that he can coach, or you're already swayed by the fact that they showed up and they played a really competitive game on a Monday night against Green Bay?
Dude, I'm with you, man. I already thought that Brian Daboll could coach. Right? You made the playoffs and won a road playoff game. He was coach of the year. I know that Brian Daboll can coach. I don't like how the team came out to start the season. I thought that was a problem. But I wasn't ready to move off of Brian Daboll after last season. Or if they had traded Saquon Barkley or if things continue to go sideways, no.
But you know the thing that annoys me too is Don had the same take when the Giants went to Washington a couple of years back and Daniel Jones threw that 5-touchdown game. His take was, well, it's gonna really help the locker room and it's gonna buoy Daniel Jones to be a better quarterback. Has it done that at all?
No.
I mean, at all?
No, it was Brian Daboll that kind of that helped Daniel Jones the most.
Do you think that week 17 against Washington has made Daniel Jones a better quarterback? Or you think that week 17 carries over to the next year?
No. I don't. I mean, listen, part of his argument, too, was that good organizations figure it out. Okay, I could buy into that. I could buy into good organizations find a way to make it work, but I don't think this is one of those instances. If the Giants are hell-bent on getting a quarterback and there's a guy or two that they like and they can't get those two because the top three teams are taking quarterbacks or whatever it ends up being because
there's
they want a couple
do.
Of... Yeah, there's nothing a good organization can do there.
No. Very, very, very frustrating. All right, so yesterday, watching this game, 1 o'clock, my Rangers, just they beat up on your Islanders. Second period, domination, goal in the third. Two goals in the third, I guess, actually. 5-2. Rangers beat up on your beloved Islanders.
And yeah, Rangers are better.
For all of it, we get some beautiful breakfasts tomorrow.
Right. So you guys hope you choke on those breakfasts.
No, you don't.
No, I don't. I hope you enjoy them. It's the least I could do.
But that you just said, I think it's a very fair thing that you just said. You could
the
sit
Rangers
here
are better.
And dissect it till you blew in the face. The Rangers are better than the Islanders.
The Rangers are better. That's the reality where we're at. I mean, I'm fine giving you the breakfast. I was more aggravated about the Ottawa game Just know how important every single one of these points is.
Well, here's the thing, right? You look at the Rangers and you just said it, and I think you know it. The Rangers are better.
Yeah.
Right? Ottawa's not better. You can't throw a point and leave it against Ottawa.
No, but it's happened too much this season.
How many overtime or shootout losses does this team have? Way too many.
Yeah, way too many.
And how many blown third period leads do the Islanders have? Way too many.
Way too many. And, I mean, yesterday was another one of those examples just where, I mean, it's some of the same kind of mistakes that you feel like have been costing this team all season long. Like yesterday, they protecting the middle of the ice. They were not good protecting the middle of the ice. I mean, there was a goalie D exchange that wasn't good. I mean, the Cooley goal, we got two defensemen outside the dots, and he walks in by himself. Like, what?
And
come
the
on,
Kako
man.
Goal was, I mean, it was like he walked guys off the wall right there.
Yeah, he just walked right off the wall. It's too easy. That's too easy. Like, there's got to be more urgency than that. The Rangers are fully ensconced in the playoffs. They're right there for the President's Trophy.
Right. What are they, a point out of best record in the most points in the Eastern Conference, I think,
yeah,
right?
Point that's behind right. Boston, game in hand.
Santiago jumping right on it.
Well, I mean, that's what he does. He produces the games. I'll tell you what, though, man. Carolina never goes away.
No. Carolina won't go away either. Getzel scored for them, too, yesterday.
But you see what Toronto pulled such a Toronto on Saturday. You see that game against, not that you had to see the game. So they were home against Carolina. They led 3-0 at home, blew the lead. They led 4-2 with under 2 minutes to go in regulation. At home, Carolina scored 2 goals into overtime, and they win it.
Carolina's going to be a problem.
Carolina's going to be a problem.
Carolina's going to be a problem. Toronto's Pats jerseys too are gorgeous.
So you're going to see Toronto against either Florida or Boston in the first round of the playoffs. How good is that?
For Toronto, not great, but for us.
No, but if you like hockey,
yeah, you know me. I hate the whole setup with the playoffs like that.
You want to reseed the whole thing?
Yeah, just give me 1 through 8.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I want to tell you about our big pregame party that the Mets are going to we're going to go over to Citi Field. Listen to this. So it's the big DNR pregame party, and it's back. We did it last year. It was incredible. If you didn't go, shame on you, but you have another opportunity this year. We're heading out to Publicans yet again in Manhasset. That's Long Island, and ironically, it's right near Rick's house, so it won't take him long at all to get there. It's Thursday, May 2nd. Then after the show, we walk steps to the LIRR and take that as a group to Citi Field for the second annual pregame party ahead of Mets and Cubs before we go into the game. Little after 1 o'clock. That's Thursday, May 2nd. Publicans again, Manhasset, right over to Citi Field. We'll see you there. If we don't get at least 200 people, I'm going to be very upset.
Yeah, you're missing out. And I'm not just saying that because it's our event.
No, last year was, honestly, it was an amazing event.
It was almost perfect. Outside of Cassie's dad falling asleep at the dinner table later. It was a tremendous
day.
And
me whooping up on you in cornhole as well.
Yeah, well, I'll have my retribution this week.
Okay, we'll see about that. So that's firstly. Secondly, Danny Hurley, who is an elite college basketball coach, will be on the K Show at 5:30 today.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and they are the prohibitive favorites to win the championship for back-to-back years. So that's 5:30 today on the K Show. I got to tell you, they were awesome last year. They didn't have any games that were even close last year. I think they're a better team this season than they were last season.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel the same way.
I mean, this Tristan Newton is amazing.
Right, I was watching a lot of the coverage and stuff last night, and all those guys, Jay Will, Seth, Jay Billis, all have UConn winning.
It's hard to not have them winning because I mean, Houston got pummeled this weekend by Iowa State. Purdue lost to Wisconsin. Carolina's good, but they lost to NC State, and I think they're flawed. I mean, Duke is not Duke this year. So where? I mean, Tennessee is, you know, they never go to the Final Four. You don't trust Purdue. Like, who do you go with if not UConn?
No, I think you just said it. I think the team that you would trust is UConn.
Right. But if you're in a pool.
Unless you feel like everyone's going to take UConn and you want
to
be different.
And everyone is. So if you're in a pool and you're going to take UConn, then you need to be great early on in your pool.
Right.
Did you hear what John Winthrop just said?
I heard a lot of what John Winthrop just said, yeah.
And you think I have issues?
I think this is probably why you guys get along so well, because I think you both have a tremendous amount of issues.
So I asked if at a future meeting if this one guy is going to be there. And he's like, no, he's not with us anymore. He passed away. I was like, oh, my God.
No, he didn't say passed away.
No, right. He goes.
You're embellishing a little bit.
You're right. He goes, quote, he's not with us anymore. He was in a car accident. And I was like, what? I felt so awful. He's like, oh, no, I'm just kidding.
Well, he
that's
said,
what he said, Raymond.
Well, see, he teed it up with he's no longer with us. And, yeah. You know, when he first says that, I play, oh, he's no longer with the company.
Right.
No,
that's what I thought.
Then you did the follow-up question, like, oh, well, you know, what happened to him? Like, oh, he was in a car accident. So, right. Immediately I thought the worst. You thought the worst.
Of course you
Everyone
someone
did.
Someone says, this person's no longer with us. They were in a car accident. You immediately jump to, oh, my God, he's dead.
Thankfully, as far as we know, this guy was not in a car accident,
no.
And he's not dead.
And then he goes, no, I'm just kidding. There's no kidding about that. It's not funny.
No, it wasn't even that he said he was kidding. The reason why in his mind it was okay is because he knew that he
wasn't
dead.
Right, he goes,
dead.
But I knew he didn't die.
Right.
Well, that's great.
But we had no clue.
It's like his own personal Magic Johnson.
Okay. So
he had any idea that Magic was going to die.
Yeah, but I wasn't kidding. Like, I just said something I shouldn't have said. He knew exactly what he was saying, and it was an awful thing to say.
Yeah, you're
tough.
Not wrong.
I had about 5 seconds of thinking this guy who I really liked was dead.
Yeah, I'm not even sure I knew who he was talking about.
So you didn't have those 5 seconds because you didn't even know who he was.
No, I don't even know who he was.
That's great. Let's go a little melange style. Danny in Long Island. Danny, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, boys. I tried to call you last week, but I couldn't get through. The bocce ball dream died in the pits.
Oh.
Yes, it was very sad. We roll up at the crack of dawn at 8 o'clock. It was only 70 degrees, so they were all wearing winter coats. And we played bocce, and then we drank heavily and then took a nap. Mom got over it relatively quick. Very happy that she made it to the semifinals, but it happens. What are you going to do?
Now, you said this was like well over 100 teams. Like her bocce... You know, prowess is elite, right?
Yeah, let me ask you a question, Dave. Here's one for you. So now she lost to her day champion. Are we rooting for that person now to win the whole thing? Or since you eliminated my mother, we wish nothing but
That's
demise
a great question.
On you.
Who did she lose to someone that she knows?
She lost to someone that she knows because it's in this Wednesday morning bracket.
Does she like the person that she lost to on a personal level?
A little bit of a bocce. We'll leave it at that.
I don't know that
well,
you
then no.
say that.
Then you root against. Then you
yeah,
root,
then
against,
you root
her.
Against.
Root against them. Well, I'm happy to report that they lost, and I couldn't be happier.
Good. All right. We'll take.
So
that.
Anyway, item two. So I'm down there, and my phones are blowing up with steel and nonsense, and I can't even believe what's going on. I mean, this is a different world.
Well,
I grew up.
You gotta love it, though,
trades.
Danny. Right?
It's all good. All great stuff. And then the piece de resistance. I made the K bracket. I have a drop in Drop Madness. I'll be going up against Bob Costas in round one.
Wow.
Nice.
So if you never accomplish anything more in your life from this day forward, you made Drop Madness, and you go up against the legendary Bob Costas.
4 children, 5 grandchildren, a lieutenant in the police department, beautiful Little League director. I could keep going on. I made Drop Madness is right at the top of the list.
What's your drop?
Mike, what's your position on sausage? We were having a conversation yet again of things he doesn't eat. So I was shocked because it was before the Christmas party at the Deutsche Plot, whatever it's called.
Right.
And I said, Mike, what's your position on sausage? Of course, they cut that right up. You can imagine.
Of
Something
course.
Rick would do. Anyway, that's it. That's all I got for you, boys. I'm sorry to report that it didn't work out, but we drank, we took a nap, and then we ate. All they do down there is wake up, exercise, eat, nap,
what
and
time
eat
does
again.
Mom go to sleep, Danny?
Oh, that's perfect.
What time would you say she goes to
what
sleep?
What a life that sounds like.
She goes to bed around 9. I woke up at 6:55 one day, and the coffee was already cold. I said, Mom, what time did you get up?
Wow.
Well, I was up around 5, and then we go out and walk for 2 hours. Two hours.
Where is she, in the villages?
She's in Vero Beach.
The Dodgers had their spring training.
Listen, my father moved to Vero Beach because he grew up. My father was at Jackie Robinson's first game at Ebbets Field. My father was in the Army when they finally won. By the time he got back, they were moving. After his career, he moved to Vero Beach and would call me. I just spent an hour talking to Sandy Koufax about the curveball. And then they moved to Arizona. Can you imagine?
Wow.
So the Dodgers moved on my father twice.
Oh, poor dad. All right,
How
Danny, thanks for the update. Tell Mom we're sorry she didn't get it done. But you know what? Semifinals over 100 teams, still pretty impressive.
Yeah, well, some people like the reason I asked the question is some people like the, well, I lost to the champion.
Well, I understand why he asked the question.
Right, but if the
but if you don't like who you lost to, you'd probably root for them to lose.
He didn't have very nice things to say about the person that she lost to. So.
I didn't even know you could say that on air. Did that get dumped?
See, yeah, that didn't fully make it all the way through.
Yeah, it got dumped. Nice.
You can't say that word.
All right, let's go quickly to Richard in Manhattan, then we'll get to three stars. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Dave, Rick. If the Knicks finish 52-30, I think Jalen Brunson is the MVP of the league. There is nobody more valuable. I went through every name, and those teams, even Boston without Tatum, can still win. Without Brunson,
but Richard, you know what I would say is
what about Oklahoma City?
Is that how it's really determined?
No, I'm asking you. I'm asking would you?
I honestly, and I say this all the time. I don't know what the determination is. Is it the best stats? Is it the best player on the best team? Is it if you took that player?
Most valuable, the one that the team can't do without.
Is that how it's defined in the letter of the law?
No, my definition. This is our sports talk radio where I'm calling. In my definition, that's all that matters. All right, number two, when they're playing together now, so they'll build up a foundation leading into the playoffs. You cannot put Randall back in the starting lineup. He has to understand that he's going to be a diminished role. Let him come in as the sixth or seventh man. I know they won't do it because Thibodeau's got too much respect for him. But when these guys are playing together six, seven, eight games, Ochoa is coming in for center. It's him and Hartenstein. And they have the power forward, the guard position, the rotation set. Let Thibodeau play around.
It's not going to happen, though, Richard. And we got to run. Thanks for the phone call. It's not going to happen. And when Randall comes back and he shows he's healthy, he's going to be back in the starting lineup. Raymond?
Today's three stars.
Sorry, I thought you were teeing me up for something else there. I appreciate you showing restraint throughout the show, by the way. Just much appreciated.
Me? Number three.
No, Dave. Dave,
no, it's
really.
Me. I for show once. Tremendous sure, restraint.
But that's not number three. Number three is John pulling a brick from Anchorman.
Brick killed a guy.
He's killing a guy over here that we later to find out he's okay. He's alive. He's not dead. He's just no longer
no
with
remorse
the company.
Either about it.
No remorse whatsoever.
Like high levels of comedy.
Well, somebody's got to be comedic around here, which brings me to...
Number two.
I mean, again, you say that it's not nasty emails to the Dave Rothenberg website, but again, so anybody who's going to rank Shooter over RJ, no. I don't appreciate that. I don't agree with that.
At least you number one, Ray.
At least, yeah, that's a good point. And it did give us this.
Yes. Rick, hilarious. We love his porn humor.
We all appreciate Rick's porn humor most of the time.
Number one.
Dave goes out on dates with Sherry's exes. Well, now, at least Sherry went along, and, you know, whatever you guys do, that's on you. But, again, I love when this leads us to different lines.
Well, now murder you.
Morgan Freeman is now involved.
I don't even know what I said, but it does sound very much Morgan Freeman-esque.
Well, now murder you.
I still don't know what it is. You know what it is?
I'll now murder you.
I'll now murder you.
Yeah. All right, it's Rule 76.
No excuse, Plague of Champions, DPH Rothberg.
This is the way Morgan Freeman lived his life, Carpe Omnia.
870 ESPN.
And I tried to tell you, and you're like, McCarthy.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.